see what the FBI was able to do, and it was the FBI more than anyone else, to divide Puerto Ricans to where Albizu could have been a natural ally for the very liberal Muñoz Marín, yet it didn't turn out that way. It turned out that Muñoz Marín basically snitched on him and told on him and sort of hurt him in so many ways. And the other thing, too, which is interesting is, for good or for bad, and I think for good, how much we've grown. In those days, to say anything positive about the flag or Albizu Campos would have gotten you into a lot of trouble. Here we are discussing it today. Here there are commemorations in the Bronx, you know, in Washington, in Puerto Rico, and it's not seen as anything. And lastly, Albizu's legacy allows for people then to go to Congress and to the president and get political prisoners out of jail. The first group that Bobby Garcia worked on, the second group that Nidia Luis Gutierrez and I worked on, the Oscar López situation, Rivera López situation. All those things would have not have happened if he had not said that kind of mode and that kind of tool.
We want to thank you all for being with us. We're going to continue this conversation after the show and post it at democracynow.org. New York Congressmember Jose Sedano, Nelson Dennis, author of War Against All Puerto Ricans, Revolution and Terror in America's Colony. Hugo Rodriguez joining us from Puerto Rico, from the Puerto Rican Independence Party. That does it for the show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard. Your concert billboard for Sunday, April 19th. Sloan Wainwright, The Levins, Marcy Geller, and many more, all at the Garden Stage, Garden City, beginning at 2. The Atlantic Wind Symphony will be at the Patchogue Theater, 3 p.m. Bumpkin A, The Vigilance Committee, Pavel, and Crisis Crayons, all at 89 North. In Patchogue, beginning at 5. Miles to Dayton Trio, Cassandra House, Katie Perlman, Travis McKeveny, and more. At the Congregational Church of Patchogue, 7 p.m. Frank Fairfield will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3, 9 p.m. On your concert billboard for Monday, April 20th. Jerome Chabac Quartet will be at Smalls Jazz Club, Manhattan, 7:30. Bell House, Mackenzie Shivers, will be at the Rock Music Hall, Manhattan, 7:30. Kenny Werner's Effortless Mastery Ensemble will be at the Blue Note, Manhattan, 8 p.m. John Paris will be at B.B. King's in Lucille's, Manhattan at 8.
Hey, it's Lister right here. The deal. Here's the deal. We need a steady flow of our funds throughout the year. Living in the capitalist world, you know how it is. You can't afford to give something that you're comfortable with. Let me give you a for example. $5 a month. Every month it kicks in for 12 months straight. Or $6 a month, $6 every month, boom, boom, boom. Do it now. Call 631-632-690.1 FM. 631-632-6901. And we can make perfect arrangements that you'll feel comfortable with WSB being your super PAC to watch your back. Gracias.
And thank you very, very much, Lister. And he's right, we're in fund drive mode, so please support the station. A whole lot more of that. Right now, it's 6:02 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook. And every night at this time, we have Off the Wall. Every Tuesday night at this time. But you all knew that. Good evening.
I'm ready now.
And I apologize for the mistake. We're not on every night. I did not want to volunteer us for every night. And I'm blaming that on the heat. It's very hot in the studio.
We've already had strong listener response to that mistake of yours, Kyle. I'd like to say that people are happy that we were said to be on every day. But that's not the case. Outrage is makes it... it doesn't do it justice. It's... calm down, everybody. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be every day. You know, even if you wanted us to, we couldn't do that.
I think it was a slip. I think what I meant to say is that I practice saying tonight, this time, it's time for off the
it
wall.
Was not, we can be honest. It was market testing. We were seeing what the response, running it up the flagpole, seeing who saluted, and the kinds of salutes that we got were not the kind we were hoping for. So, all right, that idea is dead. Every Tuesday night now, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, off the wall. So, how have you been? It's a little warm in here, but we're not going to complain about the temperature, are we?
Because no.
This building's going to blow up one day, hopefully soon. No, I don't mean that in the bad way. I mean that they're planning on destroying it so that they can rebuild it better this time. And hopefully then they'll remember that we're humans and we can't have 150-degree temperatures or whatever we're exposed to.
Enduring in this climate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know...
It's only May, too. Can you believe that?
It's warm enough.
Oh, wait a minute. It's only April. Oh, my God. What's it going to be like in July?
Golly. Wow. Well, like this, maybe warmer.
These are the things that keep us worrying here at the radio station. But the important thing is that we keep the sounds coming out to the listeners.
Yes, ventilation aside.
Yes. And we are in the final week of our fundraiser, and we want to thank those people who called in last week. We had a good response last week. We don't have anybody in the tally room, do we?
Not at present.
Okay. If somebody shows up there, then we'll encourage people to call in live during our show. Otherwise, we have to stop the show to take the phone call, and that's kind of awkward. For playing music, it's easy, but we're not playing music, except in the background.
Ever so quietly, yes. Yeah. But one of the two of us will... jump up and grab a tally sheet form and fill it out and...
Oh, so you do want to take calls. Okay.
Take care of it. Well, I mean, if people can...
It's going to make a conversation kind of awkward, though, if every time the phone rings, one of us has to jump up and run into the other room. You know, I kind of like to go back and forth here.
Okay, okay.
Let's hope somebody shows up.
But we're still in fundraising mode.
Yes.
And any amount, if you can pledge online or... contribute in any way during this time, the station really, really appreciates it, and we appreciate it.
Yes, and maybe we can even take phone calls, too.
We'll try.
Maybe. We like to do. We like to hear from our listeners as well, and we like to get email, otw@2600.com, with all sorts of comments and experiences and things like that from the people out there all over the world.
And please share, yeah. There's lots to talk about, lots to say, I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess so. Kind of trying to think of what we should talk about today, because we've both been busy working, and we realized the time was drawing short, and we just ran over here without really putting much together. So
no, it was a bit of a frenzy, but that's okay. That's sometimes the best way to go. We can leave it free form, because that's what free form radio is about. We can talk about anything.
We can, and now that we can talk about anything, I'm racking my brains trying to think of what we should be talking about right now. Well, the weather's nice. It's getting warm again. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting back on track. I was caught off guard a little bit with some of the seasonal stuff. But, yeah, I feel good. It's great. It's great to be outside and see some of the changes in spring.
Yes.
We had quite a bit of storminess, actually, overnight.
We had a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
That was unexpected. I didn't know we were going to get a thunderstorm this early in the year.
Yeah, it was vivid strobing of lightning for a good part of the night. That was entertaining for me most recently. But gosh, what else? What else have we done?
We did a little bit of traveling. We drove the 2600 van into New Jersey. We taught a friend's class at NYU.
Yeah.
We wandered around the city. found Austrian food in the city. That was kind of cool.
A treat. Yes. It really was.
Didn't know we had a place like that. I don't know, just basically trying to reorganize a lot of things, like relaunching sites and various exciting sounding things like that.
And we've been looking into payment stuff. This was brought up on another radio show, Saturday's a Party. They suggested Bitcoin stuff, and we're looking into that for donations for the radio station. But you can't really just implement that. We got to talk to everybody and see if that's a way they want to go. But
it's possible. Anything is possible. So
it's been mentioned, and we're actually working on that at the same time with some of the other merchandise and projects like soda and so on and so forth. So it's definitely been on our minds. So maybe integrating that to the radio station so they can accept a wider variety of platforms. It seems like it's a big issue now. People are really interested in how their money is being processed, whether it's remittance overseas or you name it, running your own store. A lot of independent small businesses are they're looking at the finance industry and looking at all these alternatives and seeing what works. And it's definitely interesting to try new technology out.
Sure is. We experimented with that last year at HopeX. We took Bitcoin for the first time, and it was quite successful. I was amazed. And it's gotten easier in the year since then. And it would be nice to try that with WUSB and see if that's something people want to do.
Yeah.
We can make it happen if that's the road we decide to go on. We'd like to hear from our listeners. If you had a Bitcoin, would you give it to WUSB?
Yeah. Would you support community radio with Bitcoins if you had a couple to spare? Would that payment method, would that help you give to the radio station and as a result support this program and other exciting programming here at Stony Brook? We'll see. Please write in or let us know how you feel about that.
Do we have somebody in the tally room now?
We do. I believe we're going to get a little help.
Okay, good.
I'm not sure.
I can't see, so I have no idea what's going on. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I take it it's not Finn, then. You would have said that.
No, I haven't seen Finn yet.
All right.
But if Finn shows up, we'll talk to him, and I think we'll be able to get some help if we do get calls coming in. Should we say the phone number? Or?
Yeah, why not? 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Please pledge whatever you can afford. Get yourself a T-shirt. Get yourself a mug. A hat. We have all kinds of things.
Yeah, what were the animals? We had a dinosaur pledge level. We had
all sorts of weird things.
It was a huge variety that we were aware of. Oh, there it is. I'm seeing it right now.
Okay.
We got the sea squirrel, the WUSB, the sea wolf, and a really long scientific name I'm not even going to try to butcher. That's the 10-year sustaining member level. That's a $1,500 pledge. Lifetime lemur, that's $5,000. But really, any amount. The USB 90.1 club is a great way to start. That's a $90 pledge level. And there's a lot of gifts associated with those levels. We've got sweatshirts, I think, and some compilation discs that are put together here at the radio station with new music and staff picks and the like. I'm sure there's more details that I'm skipping. But that's our way of saying thank you. So if anybody wants to call in, 631-632-6901, I think we've got some help here. People to take your name and number, your info, and pledge your support. Any amount is acceptable in our opinion.
Yes.
We appreciate all of it. So,
and we take credit cards too.
Yeah, we can process this with a credit card payment and make it as seamless and quick as possible.
Yes. Cool. Hey, we know who's going to be in the FA Cup final finally after all this time.
Who?
They had the semifinals last weekend.
Okay.
Our team won. Our team being Aston Villa. They defeated Liverpool. Of course, Aston Villa was not our first pick. Our first pick was Nuneaton Grif way back in August, and we've handed off all the teams that lost to the teams that won ever since then. I think we've gone through about 12 of them. But Aston Villa will be playing Arsenal. They have their work cut out for them. And that's happening sometime in May. And the thing is, I believe Aston Villa, if they win, they go on to the Europa League, which is a European competition. If Arsenal win, it doesn't matter because they're going to be in the Champions League anyway, and he can't be in the Champions League and the Europa League. So they kind of don't even need to win. I'm just making that suggestion that they don't need this as much as Aston Villa does. So let's see how that turns out next month.
That ought to be an interesting matchup and some good sport to watch.
We don't have to talk about it anymore after that. Imagine, we've been going since August in this one competition. There's nothing like it anywhere.
Yeah, I am, just keeping up with it all. I had trouble. I stuck it out, though, and I'm happy to hear the
reports.
And
thank you to all the listeners who stuck it out as well.
Sorry. Yeah, thanks to the listeners who are following along with us. So, have you anything else? What's next?
I just have random clippings that really aren't that interesting, to be honest. It's kind of being overcome by the heat in here and a lack of coffee and
yeah,
all of that. It's just all kind of piling up on me.
Yeah. The campus. Forgot about the ventilation today. It is really warm in here.
We can turn the fan on, but then it's going to make all this noise, and you won't be able to hear us.
Yeah, the production value just it declines steeply if we have raging wind tunnels in the background. So the tremendous sacrifice that we're making is enduring the heat.
Yes.
We're here. We're with you. 631-632-6901. This is Spring Radiothon, and you're listening to Off the Wall on WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
All right, I got something. I got something that's kind of gotten under my skin a little bit. We have lots and lots of variety here on campus. We have lots of organizations. We're one of them. And all kinds of things are world events are discussed in lectures and seminars and things like that. But this is a place of educational learning, right? We teach, we learn, we share each other's experiences and things like that. Sometimes you might see something that's wrong. And when you see something that's wrong, I think it's up to you to make a correction or a suggestion or just try and get a dialogue going. In this particular case, what I'm seeing is a mathematical error of sorts. There's this group on campus known as Stony Brook University Hillel. They're the Jewish group on campus. Nice bunch of people. They've been around for a long, long time. However, they made a rather grievous error in this gathering that they're having tomorrow here on campus, where they're having basically a tribute to various brave men and women. They're dedicating their ceremony to the 72 victims of the 2014 Protective Edge Operation. Now, you might ask yourself, what is that?
What is that?
The 2014 Protective Edge Operation, and who are the 72 victims? Well, this is where the math comes in. Protective Edge was the operation launched by the Israeli military last July. It was called Operation Protective Edge, was also called the 2014 Gaza Massacre, because there were a lot more than 72 victims. These guys are only counting the Israeli victims and ignoring the 2,200 people who were killed as a result. Many of them children, many of them completely innocent. And, of course, you know, you hear the same argument, which I think is a load of crap, that, well, it's not our fault that we killed all these women and children because the other side was basically hiding them behind their armed forces, and we had to kill them because they were just in the way. Anytime somebody says that to you, do not believe it, because it's the thinnest of all excuses, justification for doing all kinds of horrible things. If you have a situation like that where the only way to achieve your objective is to kill women and children, then you don't do it. You do something else. You figure out an alternative way. I have no patience for that argument. But I also have no patience for people this inept in math that can't realize that 72 is a far cry from 2,200 plus 72. Yeah, you should totally honor the 72 victims because they are victims as well. In fact, I'm wondering, did they mean to say it that way? Did they mean to say that the Israeli soldiers that were killed are also victims of this Operation Protective Edge, which I'm air quoting right now? I think they are. I think they were. But you damn well better count the 2,200 other people that died as a result. This has got nothing to do with supporting politics, supporting one group over another. It has everything to do with being fair and being admitting when something happens, not covering it up. This is an organization on campus that we all contribute to, all of us being people who are students here at the university, which I am not. I was at one point. And I think people who contribute money to organizations would like those organizations to behave in a somewhat fair and honest manner. And to have propaganda like this, and this is nothing short of propaganda, is shameful. And it needs correction. Doesn't need much more than that. Doesn't need hostility. Doesn't need intimidation or anything like that. It needs a firm correction. And I hope a lot of people show up to voice that correction and also support their right to have a organization on campus to pursue their interests and things like that, but just not at the expense of other people. And that's what I just noticed right now.
Very good. All right, indeed. I'm with you. I think you should talk about the whole conflict.
Maybe, I should talk about the whole conflict? I'm not going to do that.
Oh, no. I mean, in that context, I mean, it's a lot more people in total.
I just don't like when
suffering, really.
When lives on the other side, whatever that other side might happen to be, whether it's the Cold War, okay, whether it's Iraq, or even, you know, World War II.
Yeah.
I just don't like when any side, the people, the actual individual people, are minimized. Like, they don't count. And they always count. They always count no matter what the situation is because they're individual people too. And you may not agree with them. They may be your enemy, but you damn well better acknowledge that they existed, that they were a part of all this in one sense or another. You can't just pretend they didn't exist.
Well, what if it was the other way around and it was this 2,200 number and they omitted the 74? Would that be equally as wrong?
It'd be harder to find.
Right.
But it shouldn't be omitted either.
Right.
It definitely should not be omitted.
That's kind of where I'm at. I think that you're denying the fact that it did take two sides or there was an opposition as well. You could separate the figures if you need to, but, you know.
The thing is, you know, soldiers dying is something that you expect in war. Civilians dying should not be happening. It happens all the time.
Right.
And, you know, we tend not to care that much when it's in certain parts of the world or certain types of people.
Right.
And that's what's got to change. That's something that, you know, we have to note whenever it happens. And this is one of these instances where it's happening, a kind of blatant example of just ignoring a lot of people that don't count. Well, they do. Here at USB, I think they do. And we're always going to have an eye open for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Anyway, that's all I got as far as that goes. Every other organization on campus seems to be kind of non-controversial at the moment. Except maybe us right now.
But we'll be keeping an eye out and looking at all of you, your organizations.
Yes. That might be. It sounds kind of Orwellian.
For some reason I can't hear myself in program.
Really? That's because everything's broken here because it's 95 degrees. And
I think the heat is melting our production console. So everyone bear with us. All the more reason to donate. 631-632-6901. If you're on campus, it's 26901. Feel free to use that as well. I think someone is holding for us, but I'm not actually prepared to take calls. So thank you very, very much for holding. But we have to go into delay before we can take calls legally. And we weren't really prepared to do that yet. If you'd like to make a donation, I think we have people there to help. But I'd have to run in and or take the call off air, which I can't do right now. So I apologize.
Well, you know, this is where conveying messages back and forth comes in handy, whether through people writing things down or using sign language of one sort or another. to communicate just what that little flashing light actually means to us. It could be something completely unrelated to us.
Well, I think they got the message because that flashing light is not flashing.
Now, there's no light.
Flashing. There's no light, wow, but okay. There is still WUSB, and we're in Spring Radiothon, and we have high hopes. We well, there's a lot of things going on with the radio station right now. It's been here for 39 years, which is important to think about every now and then.
Wow.
And it's actually...
Wait, that can't be right. Hang on. We signed on in 1977, right?
Is it 30 years?
Well,
am I getting the stations?
Hang on. If you add 30 to 77, you get 2007. And then you add another 8 to that to get 15. So it'd be 38 years.
38 years.
Yeah, so that's my what my calculations come up with. Again, math, you know? Do they not teach it on this place? 38. Next year will be 39. We'll be entering our 39th year.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're still here for you. But what is going on is there's a lot of transition here on campus, and we've got all kinds of funny stories about our space, and the good news is there's a lot of really enthusiastic producers and programmers here at the station and students, and they're all really excited about the station, and we do this because we like to do this. We're keeping the place going. We open the doors to get the hot air moving sometimes.
You're waving at me when you say that.
We're actually doing the hard work that it takes to run a community radio station, the sweat,
let's hold off on that for now because it is rather hot in here and don't need any more unpleasantness.
Thick. Yeah, all right. I won't lay it on thick. But the point is, we may be moving soon, and we've got other pieces of equipment, other things we'd like to set up. We've just set up... in fact, another control room so that some of our members and volunteers can do broadcasting and post-production stuff to prepare their shows. We also have a WUSB2 stream, which we're pretty excited about, and we're working on ways to populate that with all kinds of programming from the station, which is great because if we can better utilize that resource... we might be able to continue broadcasting, switch the streams around when there's a sports function. There's all kinds of possibilities with technology and enthusiasm. So your donation supports a lot of those efforts. They keep us on the air and keep our regular workings and goings on functioning. But they also show that... this place matters to the audience. And so when people donate, whether online at WUSB.fm or through the telephone number that we've given out, whatever way you choose, that money and that show of support reflects this program and reflects our listenership, which is really, really crucial, and gives us the support to work on special stuff like that control room, like we have a new board. We're actually we've been talking about for a while. We're working on ways to implement that, and also space. We're really excited to continue with all of the buildings going up around campus. We want to make sure that WUSB is at the epicenter that is the student union, and the student union is going to change here on campus. So that matters. That matters a lot where we get located. If we end up in a keyhole down in a fifth basement somewhere, you're not going to get any student participation because they're going to get lost along the way.
It could happen because there are a lot of people who don't get it as far as the importance of a place like WUSB. And so that is really, you know, we laugh about this, but it's an actual danger that somebody who does not value non-commercial radio or radio in general, there are a lot of people who think radio is dead, that there's no future, and they could not be more wrong. There are certain types of radio that will not survive, but we're the kind that will survive because we have a constant stream of people coming into our studios, sharing whatever it is that makes them unique, playing all kinds of music that would never be played otherwise over our airwaves and over our stream. And it's more vital than it has ever been. But if you get somebody who is in power, who does not realize that, does not value that, they have the ability to kill the entire thing by basically relegating you to, as you say, a fifth basement someplace, a place nobody can ever find you, a place that's completely inadequate for the amount of space that you need to actually be creative and to produce things. Look around at the more successful radio stations in the world, and there are many of them, and you'll see that they have the facilities to get things done. That's what makes them successful, and that's what makes us, which we're basically the only radio station of our kind anywhere on Long Island, certainly, we have to survive in order to remain the only station that brings you these kinds of programs and material and things like that. But the only way we do that is not only through financial support, but just through support of our existence, period. People realizing, hey, this is important. This has to be given the space that it needs. This has to be accessible to people. It has to be progressive and imaginative and different. You know, you don't want to just have somebody come in here and say, okay, you guys are going to be top 40 from now on because that's, I say so. You
that's
know?
Another way to, that's another way to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different way, but it's certainly another way to kill it.
There are many ways to kill a radio station, many ways. And a format is one of them. If you have a stupid format that's repeated every place, that has no imagination, that certainly is a great way to kill a radio station. If you basically don't give people the facilities they need to produce radio, then, yeah, it's going to disappear as well. You could sell the station to some other entity. Many colleges have done that. Fortunately, Stony Brook is not one of them. NPR basically has taken up every single other frequency below 92 and quite a few above 92. And NPR does nice stuff, but come on already. Who doesn't get them on their toaster by now? I counted no less than 14 National Public Radio frequencies in the area that you can receive. And that's enough. That's more than enough. How many community radio stations like WUSB, campus/community radio stations? Just us. We're the only ones. And that's sad. There used to be a lot more. There used to be many, many more. And it's not because the programming style is not popular. It's not because it's not relevant. It's because the people running the institutions attached to these places lack imagination. They lack the desire to continue supporting places like that. They don't see the bottom line, the profit. And unfortunately, when NPR comes calling or when some other entity comes and offers to buy your radio station, it tempts those people who don't get it. So that's why we fight for what we believe in. That's why we keep coming into these hot, sweaty studios week after week. And that's why we always hope for something better. And you can help us get there. Please help us get there by calling 631-632-6901, pledging whatever you can afford. And we'll be around. We'll be alive and kicking and bringing you all kinds of alternatives of one sort or another, whether it's ideas, music, news, you name it. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous amount of excitement here to work on projects like, we have all kinds of music, we have a huge record library, archiving, there's all kinds of projects that are ahead for the station. We're trying to sort out exactly what the timelines and locations will be. So stay tuned and one of the ways is donating 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM.
Yeah, you mentioned our library. That's another priceless resource. Just one part of this radio station. But we have, over the years, amassed a huge collection, bigger probably than anywhere within hundreds of miles, of both vinyl and compact discs.
Did you know vinyl's coming back?
It's always coming back.
Exactly.
It's always coming back. We have an entire room filled with vinyl. An entire room. And for years, there have been people that say, oh, vinyl is a dead medium. You should just throw it all away. Throw it all away. People have said the same thing about libraries with books. Everything's digitized. Just throw it all away. You know, it's I issue this challenge to people that think digitization is the answer to everything. I'm not against digitization, far from it. I think it should be complementing actual archives. You should have digitized versions of all books, but you should also have the real books. The challenge I issue to people is, show me your first digital photograph that you took on that camera that you no longer have, for a computer that you long ago threw away. And I'll bet whatever software you use today is not compatible, or can't display it properly, or any number of other reasons why you can't just show me the picture like you could if you had the actual picture. So there are advantages and disadvantages to every bit of technology and to every medium. And you're a true fool if you believe that throwing it out and discarding it because you've moved on to the next thing is the answer. No, it's not the answer. That is how you get yourself into a lot of trouble. And there are people who will say, yeah, why don't you just get rid of the record library down the hall? Why don't you get rid of all your CDs? Digitize everything. Everything will be fine until your hard drive crashes, or until some format changes and you no longer have access to the primary media that is so unique and priceless. And that's one of the things that we get here at WUSB is the uniqueness of what we have, what we have built. And we're always in danger of somebody with more power not getting that and basically casting it aside and making us all the weaker for it.
Well, and I think also we're at risk of the people who are here, maybe who feel as though they don't have a lot of power, and to maybe make hasty decisions and choose poorly as far as archiving the proper way. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly you can digitize things. Certainly you can reorganize and shuffle things around. But it's definitely worth being considerate that when people volunteer, when they're committing time, you know, it's easy to get sort of overwhelmed in our organizations, and I think it's equally we're equally vulnerable to making sort of the quick choice that, oh well, you know, someone said that we need more space, so we've got to make X, Y, and Z decision in some kind of basically under duress. Mm-hmm. and that's territory we encourage everyone at the station to steer clear of, and to be very considerate about your impact on the station and on history through volunteering. So we do give a lot of careful consideration to some of the choices we have to make, but it gets difficult. I mean, when people fall off, when people can't commit as much time, or they're feeling overextended, you run into organizations that kind of do things hastily or lose track of things because they have other priorities, because we need an emergency alert system replaced, or we need some patch bay to be removed, or other hypothetical situation. And those priorities can kind of shift the attention of good people, or maybe people that are otherwise helping out but can't. So it's important to recognize the volunteers and the mm-hmm. producers behind the scenes are doing the best they can, and sometimes the old school way is justified, because though a one way may seem quick and easy, it's kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, it's never as quick and easy as you might think at first. It's always something you didn't think of.
It's a lot more work to throw a whole bunch of records into a dumpster. I mean, they're heavy.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's really not what I was thinking as far as the reason not to do it. It's basically because it's real. It's history. There's no replacing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many people who say that, hey, it sounds different. It sounds different, and you can't argue with these people. Well, first of all, it's very unpleasant to argue with them, but you really can't argue, because who are you to say how something sounds to somebody else? You know, it's that whole what color is this dress thing. Basically, everyone has a different perception, and there are people who hear different things than what you hear, people who see different things than what you see, and there is a large contingent of people who believe that vinyl sounds better than compact disc. And I think I'm one of them. Music had a fuller sound, And you can give me all kinds of mathematical equations and prove that that's impossible, but you can't argue with what somebody hears. And maybe it's imperfection that causes the fullness to resonate more. I don't know what the actual reason is, but there is a difference. There is a difference. Whether that difference is worth preserving and worth going to a lot of trouble for, that's the debate to have. But you can't tell somebody they're wrong when they hear something is different than what you hear.
Certainly not. And all of that is to say nothing of the other things that come along with albums, like album art and liner notes and
oh,
stuff
yeah,
like that.
Oh, yeah, there's that, so. Too. I totally forgot about that. But, yeah, if you were to go down the hallway and look at some of the old records that we have, you would see things that you'd need, you know, a microscope to be able to read it on a CD, if it's even on the CD at all. I remember one of the first albums I ever got was Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And it folded out. It opened up, and you got to see that whole heartbeat thing going all the way across the record. And then there was a sleeve with lyrics and things like that. And then
you can still see it, can't you?
There were stickers. There was a poster. All of this in one LP. Now, I don't think our copy down there still has the stickers and the poster, but it does have the opening and the fold out and all that, and just that feeling of, wow, this is something special. This is big. You don't get that as much. I mean, you might get that if you're really super into the music, if you open up a plastic sleeve on a CD, but it's not the same. And there are many people here around who have never experienced that. And having that kind of a collection enables people to see that part of it in addition to the sound. So there are so many ways of preservation that are in play here that you can't just cast away. And yet there are people, look at the bottom line, people who don't get the romance of it, who don't understand what radio, what music is really all about. They won't hesitate to say, this is a waste of time. Let's be more efficient. And I've heard this ever since the first day I got involved in radio. I've heard people saying, oh, you can do it better. You can be more efficient. This is not the way to do things. This is not how you make money. They're the wrong people to listen to.
They are. They are indeed. So 631-632-6901. Support the voices you hear now and on other times during the week at WUSB. And the discussion that you may not realize is going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of planning and excitement for the future here. We're going to be moving. We're going to be building new facilities at some point. And we've got a lot of stuff that's going to need a cool new library and new studios. We've implemented a couple of them. We've got a second stream. We've got all kinds of cool ways that you can experience the culture.
We have so much material that we need two streams.
Two streams, yeah. Isn't that something?
Because we have a lot of history, and that's the other thing. You know, we have archives, digital archives as well, that we want to share. And we just want to jump into all of this, all different formats, all different ways of experiencing sound. It's totally magical, and we only get there with your help. 631-632-6901.
Think of remotes, the dedication. I mean, when we're traveling, we do a lot of recording offline, as it were, but we get that back to the station and share it. There's tons of work that goes into remotes for events, probably in the works right now over the summer, both locally and all over the country. I mean, even sports, you could say. They
Absolutely.
Definitely put in a heck of a lot of effort to do remotes and get people there live experiencing activities and the campus community here.
Yeah, and what the sports people do, we can also do with news, we can do with concerts.
Yes.
Just getting out there, being part of the community, and spreading the word of this place, far and near. I think it makes a tremendous difference. But you have to realize that you can do that. You can have that power, that ability. And you really only have that power and ability when things exist, when a studio exists, when equipment exists, when the people are around that believe in themselves and believe in the other people at the station. And we've been very lucky. We've had a really good crew of people throughout our entire history.
Yeah, and those people are in action all the time, putting things together and making this machine of broadcast work as well as it does, and I think we do pretty well here.
Yeah, we do. We do. I mean, we don't. Okay, you might turn on NPR and say, "Wow, they're a lot slicker, and they're bringing in a lot more money and things like that," and it's all true. But they're sterile compared to us. It's not. They don't have real people sitting in front of microphones. They don't react to an actual phone call that comes in. They're not complaining about the temperature inside the studio because it's too hot. You know,
did it cool down for you?
No,
or
I think we just acclimated.
Have I just gone flush? I do feel as though I'm.
You see, Kyle, humans acclimate.
Blacking out.
No, we're able to adjust ourselves. That's how you have people up in the Arctic that live in the cold. That's how you have people on the equator that live in hot conditions. Humans are magical. We can acclimate to anything, and even this control room, we can adjust.
Yeah, I think I have, because I sort of leveled off as far as my blood pressure and sweating and overall rapid heart rate. I don't feel as faint anymore, put it that way.
When you've been lying down now for about 20 minutes, so I think that also helps.
Yeah, it's actually a lot more comfortable right here in front of the console, and the phone has made a good pillow for me, but I'm not sure, are we going to use it?
Are we going to use the phone?
Yeah, do you want to use it?
You want to try to use it?
We could.
Well, you know, you're suggesting taking phone calls, which is very daring, but it is the last week of the fundraiser. That's the dial tone, and that's that horrible bit of static that we have to get rid of. Okay.
Yeah, that works.
It works. It works.
I apologize if that was really loud and anyone's
stereo. It
was
pretty loud and staticky, but that's because of the equipment, and we need to fix that. 631-632-6901. Is there somebody to take pledges in case someone is calling to pledge?
Yeah, I think we do have help, and Finn has walked in.
So if we get a call, they should pick up the phone first, see if it's a pledge. If it's not a pledge, put it on hold. And then when we see the hold light, we'll know to take the phone call. How's that?
It sounds complex. I mean,
it's not complex at all. It's so simple.
Look, it's...
They pick up the phone. They take a pledge if there is a pledge. If there's not a pledge or if the pledge is over, they put it on hold. We see the flashing light and we pick up the phone.
I think we have agreement. I think it's okay with our staff room full of volunteers. They're nodding their heads and giving us a thumbs up that plan will work. And
that one. Oh, my head. Oh.
Are you okay?
That really hurt.
Oh, boy. Any event, 631-632-6901. If you're on campus, it's 26901. We've been pledging really, really hard. I wanted to give the number out again because we still haven't seen that many phone calls. And boy, I it must mean that everyone's pledging online at WUSB.FM.
Can I just say...
You're still recovering from that, huh?
Well, we're running out of time, too.
I've never seen someone swan dive into a guest mic.
Oh, that smarted something good. What I was trying to point out is a good thing, that we don't have to go into delay until we see that flashing light, the rapidly flashing light, meaning somebody's on hold wanting to be on the air.
That's correct.
And if we see that light, then we go into delay. We don't have to go into delay unless we see that light. And if we don't see a light between now and the time we go off the air, which is about five of, then we don't have to do it at all.
That's right. So keep those calls coming in or not. Definitely coming in. No, please keep them coming in. 631-632-6901. Support WUSB in our spring pledge-a-thon-o-rama.
Where's the first aid kit? Do you know?
I don't see anything.
All right.
Okay. I don't think it's not bleeding.
All right. Well.
Too much.
Yeah, but it's a big... Oh, okay.
Welt. Yeah. It's going to leave a bit of a scar. Okay. That's neither here nor there.
No.
We must go on.
So you say Finn is in there?
Yeah, he's in there. He's tabulating all of your calls that are coming in.
My calls now?
Actually, he's waiting. Uh-huh. I lied.
Okay.
Okay, he's doing a little voodoo.
You can lie on the radio.
He's waving his magic Finn energy around over that phone, and I think that is going to bring the calls in.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, even calls just to get on the air, we're asking for those as well.
Yeah. If you'd like to just comment on the radio station, on the big plans, the big projects, the big deal here at WUSB, if you're curious, you have questions about what you're supporting, what community radio is, what radio is, what is... We'll set you straight.
Yeah, and if you know, you can call to berate us. We don't like the fact that I pointed out that 2,200 people died in the Operation Protective Edge thing before. Well, you know, call in and tell me that I shouldn't have even brought it up.
Yeah,
I'll listen.
You called out the Hillel Club for their bad numbers.
Well, their numbers were wrong. Their numbers were inaccurate. And when math is in error, I'd like to point it out.
But we talk about all kinds of other things, too. Travel, transportation, infrastructure, crazy news events, and deplorable human behavior. All of that kind of exciting, riveting talk and storytelling. That's what we're about here at Off the Wall. We like to share. We like to tell stories. We like to... open up issues, have discussions.
I've got something like that.
Sure.
Do we have any calls right now?
Not at present.
Okay, so here's a story, because this story is going to take a couple minutes. And I had not heard of this before, but you know, there's a trial going on right now in Southern Oregon. A woman charged with killing two handymen and feeding their corpses to her pigs. Apparently this woman, yeah, this is one of these feel good stories
her that
you
handymen?
Just hear about in passing. I had no idea this was going on. She actually signed a birthday card in jail and sent it to one of the jurors, signing it from the sweetest murderer in Jackson County. yes. Jordan Janae Ferris testified Monday that Susan Monica, that's the alleged killer, also confided that she shot one of the victims with a shotgun and then fed him to her pigs. I got chills from the birthday card, she said. It was sent to another inmate. Okay, never mind. Right. I thought it was a juror. It was sent to an inmate. It was brought up at the trial. That's what happened. The April 9th birthday greeting came a few days after Monica told her about the killing. She told her story to jailers last week and appeared as an 11th-hour witness, with the prosecution preparing to finish its case on Tuesday. In other testimony, a state police forensic anthropologist testified that the handyman's legs had been chopped off with an axe, and the thigh bones showed signs of being gnawed at by an animal. It's unclear whether the pigs were eating the handyman while they were still alive, or whether that was after they were killed in one way or another, shot and chopped into pieces. They're not sure if the axe blows came before or after one of the handymen died. You know, this whole thing about feeding people to pigs, that's something that I only saw in TV and movies. I can't figure out how pigs are able to attack people like that. How do they even open up their snouts wide enough to bite you? I've never been bitten by a pig. I've never gotten that close to a pig, so I'm not sure how that works. But apparently they're pretty nasty creatures when you rub them the wrong way.
Yes.
You have no answers either.
Huh? Little piggy. I thought we were going to save that story for the kids' show.
Well, like I said, a feel-good story to top things off. I had no idea that happened. People feeding handymen to pigs in Oregon.
Why, though? Why? What did they not fix?
Pig food is expensive, for one thing. Maybe they didn't do as good a job as they might have on whatever work she had hired them to do.
So she, like, didn't want to write a bad review on Angie's List or something.
Maybe she was just a little nuts. There's also that.
In Oregon, yes.
There's all kinds of possibilities. That's why I have a bunch of stories like this, but I figured, you know, one of those a week is enough.
Whew. Okay.
And I just found out about it, too. I didn't know about it before.
Well, we are in super-duper pledge overdrive here at WUSB Stony Brook. This is Off the Wall. We are in a very, very warm studio, and we're really excited to have spent the hour with you. Thanks to everyone who pledged online all of the money they committed to the station. We really appreciate that. And everyone who called, we really appreciate your phone calls.
Yes.
And your pledges of support. You can still be a part of that huge crowd of people by calling 631-632-6901.
Yes. Every call counts. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and you can always call 631-632-6901 to pledge, or go to wusb.fm.
Hey, we're out of time, and Finn is coming up next with Finn's Revolution.
Sounds like fun.
There were three links of chain, every link was Jesus' name. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh Lord, oh Lord, keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Mary, Margaret, Luke, and John, all them prophets are dead and gone. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh Lord, oh Lord, keep your hand on that plow, hold on. I've never been to heaven, but I've been told streets are fair lined with gold. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh Lord, oh Lord, keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh Lord, oh Lord, keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh Lord, oh Lord, keep your hand on that plow, hold on.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour. First half an hour, we're going to be talking to Public Quartet, who's playing on the 24th right here at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, and a couple of weeks later at the Huntington Arts Festival, so stay tuned for that. But it's going to be a big celebration tonight for the birthday of Iggy Pop, so stay tuned. Plus, we have some great Iggy premiums. Stay with us, baby. Thank you.
film. Drive a GTO, wear a uniform, a line of government loan. I'm worth a million in prizes. Yeah, I'm through with sleeping on the sidewalk. No more beating my brains. No more beating my brains. With liquor and drugs. With liquor and drugs. Well, I'm just a modern guy. Of course I had it in the ear before. Could have lust for life. Could have lust for life.
Yeah, that's right. It's Iggy Pop right here. It's Iggy Pop's birthday. We're going to be listening to Iggy Pop throughout the evening, but for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be, we're going to listen to a little of Public Quartet, who's playing the 24th right here at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, one of our favorite venues. To see anybody, we're going to give away a couple of pairs of tickets to see them, and I think we're going to hear a little something right now from the Public Quartet and then speak to some of their members, and so let's pick something here. How about something by that famous hack, Johannes Brahms, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. This is the Public Quartet. They may be playing this week. Who knows? Here they are.